The text from the sermon is taken for the canticle for Easter Day. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. While I was living in Madagascar for a few months, my host told me one day that we were going on a mystery ride. And after an hour of driving down red dirt roads in the Malagasy bush, we came to a sort of oasis, towering trees surrounding a small blue-green pond. Ribbons that had been made from long strips of colorful cloth were hung all throughout the trees. And as I walked in the shade of these trees, I looked into the pond and saw the biggest fish I have ever seen in my whole life. My host then told me that this pond was considered a holy site for the Malagasy, a place to connect with ancestors through a simple liturgical sacrifice. And as he was explaining this to me, some locals arrived. They unpacked a picnic lunch and then brought part of their lunch to the edge of this pond. Unbeknownst to me, this pond contained freshwater eels as well as fish. And the head of the family took pieces of meat, and he held the meat 6 inches above the water. And then slowly, an eel came rising up out of the water and grabbed the meat and then descended back down into the depths. This was a sacrifice to the ancestors. And the fact that the eel took the offering meant that the ancestors had heard his prayers. This was my first time witnessing an actual sacrifice, and it reminded me quite well of all I had learned of the Greek and Roman sacrifices in the ancient world. And in fact, this sacrifice in the middle of the bush of Madagascar had the same components of all ancient sacrifices. First, the ancients considered an animal sacrifice to be an offering of life, not a celebration of death. So an ancient would consider the offering of a goat to be an offering of a life on behalf of the one bringing the goat. It was not the victim, the goat, which was truly offered up, but the goat's life on behalf of the participant. And second, sacrifices almost always included a meal, unless you're sacrificing to the gods of the dead, and those are some weird liturgical actions. Fat and bones were gathered, and then they were burned. But the rest of the animal was grilled and then shared among the people who had gathered for the sacrifice. And third, following from that, sacrifices were not individualistic. The meal knit these individuals together into a special community. What I witnessed in Madagascar was no exception. The offering was part of a meal which bound the living members together with those who had already died. The reception of that nourishing meat by the eel, it signified that the community was in harmony and the living members in good standing. Think also of the Jewish temple practices which bound Israel together. The Jewish Passover, for instance, was an elaborate meal of sacrifices, both of lamb and bread and wine, with an ancient liturgy that taught the future generations their own story of Exodus and reminded those at that table to what community they belonged. What we celebrate today, what we have focused upon this entire Holy Week, it's the ultimate sacrifice made by God himself so that all may together be knit in one holy fellowship. During this past Holy Week, Jesus became the Passover sacrifice for us by joining the meal with his own death on the cross. On Maundy Thursday, Jesus claimed that the wine and the bread offered at the meal is not just bread and wine, but his body, his blood. And in fact, the meal now consists of Jesus himself, because he is the sacrifice. The lambs that were offered at the temple were killed, and then according to the Mishnah, they were skewered as they ran one strong wooden stick through the shoulders, and then another one from the mouth to the buttocks of the lamb. It was a cruciform sacrifice, just as Christ, our Passover lamb, was crucified. The proper preface for Easter, for this season, puts it this way. He is the very Paschal lamb, which was offered for us and hath taken away the sins of the world. This shows Christ's two-part sacrifice of the Passover lamb, but also the sacrifice of atonement, that once-a-year sacrifice at which the Jewish high priest entered into the Holy of Holies in the temple and poured the sacrifice of blood upon the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat of God Almighty, for the sins of all Israel. And as we have shown many times before, Christ's entrance into the Holy of Holies is signified by his own tomb, as when Mary Magdalene looked into the tomb and she saw two angels sitting on either side of the stone that held Jesus' body. It's the image of the ark, on top of which there were two cherubim on either side of the place of sacrifice. This is exactly what the author of the Epistle to the Hebrews acknowledges. Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into that holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Through his most perfect sacrifice, Jesus conquered death and atoned for the sins of all mankind. And even more, we join this perfect sacrifice because we are baptized into that sacrifice. In this sense, Christ's sacrifice creates a community, like all sacrifices do. Paul says, we are buried with him by baptism into death. And since we join that sacrifice, we all get to enjoy his life, which Christ sealed by his resurrection. Again, Paul says, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are now all truly alive because we live in Christ through our baptism. His sacrifice is ours. His body and blood, our nourishment. His body, our fellowship, one with another. It's a community marked by his wounds and sacrifice because we are united in his body and nourished by the meal of his body and blood. At first, the community of Christians did not realize the meaning of Christ's death and resurrection. They had no foundation to understand such a marvelous act. As soon as dawn began to break on Sunday, Mary Magdalene rushes to the tomb to find the body of her beloved. She seems frantic, wrecked by grief and sleeplessness. But as she comes into the area of the tomb, she knows something is wrong immediately. And she runs and gets John and Peter, who investigate, but they leave in haste, knowing the danger they are in by being about an open tomb. We actually have a law, a Roman law, written on a stone tablet from around the first century that declared a death penalty to anyone caught disturbing the tomb of a buried body. The Gospel's account says that they believed. But let's be clear, though, just as John actually reminds us, They have yet to believe in the resurrection of the Lord. No, they now believe Mary's testimony is true. The body is gone. Mary then goes into the tomb herself, where angels ask, why is she weeping? And with a flat affect, as if she's not even surprised by the presence of angels, she turns and she tells them plainly that she seeks the Lord. And then, noticing another presence behind her, she turns again and does not recognize the gardener until Jesus calls her by name, as only he could say her name. Mary finally sees her Lord and then grasps his feet, which she had bathed with her own tears. Now she has found him, but still, she only thinks of him as he was, not as he is now, as her resurrected Lord, who will ascend and then be with his Father. She then carries the news back to the apostles, to whom Jesus appears later. And at first, it seems that this community of believers do not know what to do with the sight of their Lord. They do not understand the sacrifice that he had made on their behalf. But as Jesus appears in the breaking of the bread, as he teaches them and reveals to them the meaning of the Old Testament, as he sends his Holy Spirit to them, their confusion turns into full faith. They become a community of the faithful, united together in Christ, united together in his sacrifice. We all have walked together through this Holy Week. We have experienced the suffering and then the death of our Lord. And now you see the empty tomb, and Jesus calls you by name. Do not let the sacrifice of our Lord pass you by again as an empty symbol. But have faith and seek those things which are above. Seek Christ himself. He is here, not rotting in a tomb, but he's waiting for you to join his sacrifice. For you are dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Christ is risen. Rise with him and offer your life to him as he gives himself for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.